And we are in the home stretch of Georgia Paul Radio for this beautiful Friday. It is sunny. I hope everyone has plans to get outside and get off the Facebook keyboard and quit telling everyone that they're rhino losers because they disagreed with you once and because they don't see that insert your candidate here is the savior that will fix everything, because guess what? He or she is not. In fact, 4 years from now, this country will probably be even more messed up than it is today. And there's your optimistic thought. So go out and enjoy the day while you can and then eat at Arby's, because nothing else matters. Stefan, let's talk presidential politics.
Awesome.
I think we're at a point where we can say the nomination on the Democratic side is fairly well secure. Bernie can't really win this on merit at this point, so you have to go into conspiracy theories and or hoping that something really weird happens that ultimately Hillary almost pulls out of the race for Bernie to be the nominee. Is that roughly, from just a number standpoint, she's got it locked up, right? And that's even before superdelegates. I mean, she's actually winning before superdelegates at this point, and you know, math is on her side.
Yeah.
When you add in the superdelegates, it's been over for a long time. But for a brief while, he had a stretch of primaries where it looked like it was going to get kind of like where Republicans are. It's like, I've won the most number of votes, but you have the most number of delegates. That's not fair. We think did the that's not fair speech last week, so I won't dwell on the fact that nothing in this world is fair.
Oh,
thanks,
man.
Dad, for teaching me that. But on the Republican side, we are pretty close, and I believe Indiana is this Tuesday, if I've got my primary schedule correct. But Indiana is Ted Cruz's last stand, in my personal opinion, and only mine. Donald Trump can win with numbers without winning Indiana. Before Florida, I went back and made a calculation and just projecting which delegates went from which state, just pulling a lot of them just totally out of my head. And I had Donald Trump getting 1,250 delegates, and I had a large number of states that I didn't give Trump any delegates from, and Indiana was one of them. Based on that calculation I made before Florida, where Trump is today, he's about 30 to 40 delegates ahead of schedule and seems to have more momentum to where he only needs to get, I think, 48% of the delegates left. It's under 50. So in a pretty much what is a two-man contest now, if anyone can convince me John Kasich is viable to pick up a delegate anywhere, feel free. But this is between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, and Ted Cruz can't get enough delegates to get 1,237 on his own. He's mathematically eliminated from a first ballot win, but Cruz has been very aggressively getting delegates at the convention. The regardless what happens, the convention is going to be mostly Cruz-friendly at this point, I will say, at least from the Southeast. Again, mm-hmm. Rest of the country, I mean, Pennsylvania elected mostly Trump delegates, even though they elect delegates based on, they actually elect the delegates at the ballot there. They don't wait for the convention to do that. There are other parts of the country, New England specifically, that will send a lot of Trump delegates. We don't know what California is going to send, but based on the polls, it looks like they're all going to be assigned to Trump. And so those that are bound on the first ballot, if Donald Trump comes out of Indiana with the delegates, and I know there's scuttlebutt right now that Mike Pence is going to endorse Ted Cruz today, that might be enough momentum for Cruz to do something, but I just, even losing Indiana, if Trump can win, I'm sorry, if Ted Cruz wins Indiana, thus Trump loses it, the math still tells me that Donald Trump gets between 1,250 and 1,300 delegates from where we are now to the first ballot. Now, if Donald Trump doesn't get 1,237, if he doesn't win on the first ballot, I don't believe he's the nominee, but I think the math says he is. So what I've been watching kind of on my side is watching, and I've been part of this, but I've already made peace with it, but the people that have been fighting forever for a chance to really put a true conservative, and part of our problem is none of us can agree on what that means, but a credible alternative to a Hillary Clinton or whoever you guys ultimately nominate, but we've been saying Hillary forever, and y'all are saying Hillary, so we'll agree it's Hillary. We've been ready for this, and we're giving up Donald Trump instead. And the people that, whether you want to call yourself establishment or outside, whatever, but the people that have been really working on this at any level in the Republic, we're having a bit of a cathartic episode because it appears that a reality TV show guy can come up, say things that we've all said we don't believe in as a party, and that we're really not racist, and that we really don't hate brown people, and we really don't have Nazi sympathizers in our party, and yet the guy that comes and cozies up to them and says horrible things that are well beyond politically incorrect and just plain cruel is going to get the nomination. So there's a lot of us trying to figure out what to do with it, and I guess the question for you, we'll go back to end the show with the way we began. What does this mean for down-ballot races? Because there's not, I guess William Woodall is the got the district that is looked at as the most swing congressional district. I honestly don't even know who the Democrat is that's running against William Woodall, but I'd still be shocked that at a Georgia level, if enough people don't show up, that it puts that into a competitive district. So we really have the statewide, where there are some polls that came out this week that show that Hillary Clinton could beat Donald Trump in Georgia.
Yep.
And if she can beat Donald Trump, it at least means that Isaacson's campaign has to be on more guard. But I still, Georgians, I think, at the top of the ticket have a unique ability to split tickets. Sam Nunn Democrats is what we used to call it. Sam Nunn would be reelected.
Though. It's dropped over time, the amount of ticket splitting. I think he's fine. And honestly, I don't see Hillary Clinton winning this. Donald Trump is not the Republican Party of old. He's not solution-based or market-based or any of the kind of things that we were taught that the Republican Party valued. What he is a collection of anger and half-truths and whatever else. And it's interesting that he's relying on math now to prove that he's a legitimate candidate when he seems to be devoid of any love of math or science. Could Hillary win Georgia? I guess, sure, theoretically. The problem with Hillary is she's also got high negatives. They're not as high as Trump because she's not actually a terrible person, but she's definitely challenged. When she will get hit, Trump will get hit, and you'll eventually have a situation where a lot of people are very motivated by antipathy toward the other. And I just don't think that extends down the ballot.
And we'll play everyone's favorite parlor game right now. This is where, once again, people that run out of news stories once the nominees are locked in always start talking about third-party candidates. And this time, there's at least been public meetings about the Republicans putting up a third-party candidate. My problem I have with what I've read about those efforts is they want to try to repick Ted Cruz, although they'll pick another name in Governor Perry out of Texas. Seemed Rick Perry is the one that comes up most often. So I just don't see trying to again divide a extreme conservative base, and I hate to use the word extreme as if it's a negative, but you know, if you're really trying to run someone up the middle, if you just said Secretary Clinton has very high negatives, and she does, among the highest ever recorded, except that Donald Trump has the highest ever recorded, you've got a prime opportunity for a third party. But then the question is, where do you pick the votes? You know, how do you actually pull people that are so ingrained in going to a booth and pulling R or D? I don't think you try to out-Republican the Republicans because they picked Donald Trump, who we don't know. I still can't define what his political philosophy is other than camera time.
Opportunism,
and,
maybe?
Yeah. And so I would think if there was going to be a credible third-party effort, you'd actually try to find centrists and, you know, a Jim Webb, John Kasich kind of thing. But I've also seen people think that Donald Trump will pick Jim Webb as his running mate, and Hillary should probably pick Kasich. I mean, we just have a whole-scale realignment. I don't know what's going to happen at this point. I'm almost to the point of saying I don't care. I'm just bracing for the worst, and then we'll find ways to remain optimistic, and I'll do what I normally do. I'll focus on what happens at government here at the state of Georgia because, you know, we'll send Johnny Isaacson back to Washington, I hope and pray, and we'll work for, and other Republican congressmen, you'll send your Democrats back, and we'll let them go gridlock Washington or do whatever they do. I'm going to work on the state legislature and the governor and those people to try to make sure we have a political environment here that solves problems at the state level where we have to balance a budget and we have to provide education. We have to do all that because there are more than one branch of government, i.e. the president. There's more than Congress or whatever. We've got state and local things that affect people every day. And regardless what happens in this presidential election, at the end of the day, to me, what's important is quality of life where we live. And while Washington can definitely set a tone and cause real problems, there are problems that can be solved at the local level, too. And I'm just not going to take my football and go home because I don't like who the president is. I've watched too many people do that over the last 8 years, and everything's been about Obama, and we haven't focused on things we can fix, despite him being there. And I choose not to live in a negative world just looking at everyone's negative social media post and let my life or even my political activity, which has become my profession in a way, of defining that. So I'm going to try to find a way to be an optimist. I have no idea what you're welcome to join me if you'd like.
No, that sounds great.
To do that.
I assume we're going to a bar.
Where else do you do this kind of work, my friend? In fact, let's go now. But we got 2 minutes left on Georgia Paul Radio for this beautiful Friday before we can do that. And then Sully will have Rick Limpert and some NASCAR news, and I'm not really sure what else in the next hour.
Vroom.
But I really, if there's one takeaway from looking at this as people get prepared to lock in their nomination for president, and it's as you with the negatives as high as they are, I know a lot of Democrats are not happy about Hillary, especially those in the Bernie camp. There are a lot of Republicans that are not happy with Donald Trump, and frankly, there's a lot of them that aren't happy with Ted Cruz as the option to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time to change that was a year ago, 2 years ago. It's not now. That's reality. And I think one of the biggest problems we've had of people that have been willing to accept reality for what it is, deal with it one way or another, and move on. And, you know, even those that, of us that work in the political space and really, really, really have strong opinions of what government should be like or not, you know, the time to change it was before now. And so this is reality. Let's deal with it. Let's move on. We got better things to do than sit around and make each other miserable in a war of attrition for another 4 years. And that's intra-party before I even look across the aisle to my good friend Stefan and figure out what we're going to do next.
Everything's all rosy on our side. Don't worry.
Of course it is. That's what you tell us, Mr. Socialist, Obamacare-loving.
Socialism is the way forward.
What are you going to take over next? Let's all go to Venezuela, the people's paradise. But with that, we are wrapping up another week of Georgia Paul Radio. We appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate you listening to our pal Sully. And we hope you stay in with him for the next hour. This is Charlie Harper. I got Stefan Turkheimer in with me for this week. John Richards, hope you're landing safely, my friend. We miss you all. So GeorgiaPaul.com, check us out online. We are out for this week. Go have a happy, sunny Friday.